We're not going to start just yet because I don't know where Vinnie and Ruthie are. And she's my big sister. And if I start without her, I'll pay a price. Yeah. So I thought while we're waiting on her, I'll just narrate a little on these pictures because some of you don't know who. There's a really good looking guy in some of these pictures and you don't know who he is. So there's Karen and Mom. Our wedding picture. Carl in the back, Ruthie in the back middle, Vinnie up front. I don't know which of her dogs that is. Is that Phil, man?
I don't know.
What? And by the way, I have 9 grandchildren here today, so this is going to be a little informal because there's going to be some interaction. This is Carl's youngest son. Did I say son? I'm sorry. Brittany and Mom. Is that you in the background, Laura? I can't tell who that is in the background. And that's in Carl's house in Florida. That's his other daughter, Brandy. Yeah, that's his daughter at the time. Good. Carl's daughter, Brandy. I can't trust myself right now. Carl. I don't know if Mom made that cake for him or not. That's me and Mom. It was when she was in assisted living, I think. Wasn't it? That's Eliam and Salome. Salome again. I'm sitting in front of my favorite chair in front of the fireplace. There she is with Mr. Perfect. That's what it says on the shirt anyway. And that's Carol. That's Carol Arthurs. This is Vinnie's son, Michael. That's the last picture there. Has anybody tried to call her? Can you try? Okay. There's Mom with her favorite son. That's them on the beach there. That is the last family photo we all had together. That's Eliam and Salome again. But we're not going on the golf cart, no. Now that's Michael, I'm trying to think of the name, it's Swiss Pine Lake. And we got a little family reunion there. Many of you remember my dad. That's Mom with our friend Joanne. Yeah, that's when she found our house for us. And that is a friend of hers from way back. It's one of our old-timey day pictures here. I think they kind of started old-timey day, didn't they? And that is at a University of Georgia football game. That's her grandchildren at the time. No, her great-grandchildren, right? Oh, there she is. Do you have your easel thing, your pictures? Or? Whose car? Do you want to get it? Okay. We'll start. You can go ahead and go get it, though. We passed out bulletins. All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start. Well, good afternoon. I want to, first of all, thank you all for being here. This is an unusual day with the pre-dawn ice storm. We had to cancel church here at Walnut Grove, and we didn't know if it was going to melt off enough by now to even come. So I just want to tell you, thank you, all of you, for coming. It means a lot to me. It speaks love to me. And I thank you. Thank you. Yes. Now, we are here, of course, today to honor the memory of Margie Bomar. Some of you know her as Margie Phillips. Some of you knew her as Margie Hutto. She lived past three different husbands. And she also was predeceased by my sister, Lily. Some of you remember Lily and Lily's daughter, Bonnie, as well as Carl's son, Jeremy, who died at a very young age, about 4 or 5, I think. And of course, she's survived by Vinnie and her husband, Mark, and Carl and his wife, Laura, Karen and I, and Ruthie and John, as well as, I won't bore you with all the grandchildren's great-grandchildren's names, but she had, I tried to count, I think she had something like 15 or so grandchildren and almost as many great-grandchildren. So we're going to talk about her a little bit. At the same time, I want to glorify our Lord Jesus because we should do that on every occasion, whether it's birth, a marriage, a baptism, a death, or whatever. We always want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That's what it's all about. This journey through life is all about serving the Lord. So we want to do that at the same time. But a lot of what I'm going to say is going to sound like I'm bragging on my mom. And that's because I will be bragging on my mom. She was just a great inspiration to me. Very dear to me. She's the most generous, kind, sensitive, selfless person that I ever had the pleasure of knowing. And I think many of you knew her well enough to know that too. But we're going to read a little scripture to kind of start off. But before we do that, I'd like, Gary, if you would lead us in a song to kind of get it started. I think you said it was number 85 in the Red Hymn books. This is a song that my sister Lily used to sing a lot here at church, and it was one of Mom's favorite songs. In the garden. So let's all stand. (Clears throat)
I've come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy he shares as I tarry there, none other than has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gives to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as he tarries there, I'd stay in the garden with him far away, but he bids me go. His calling, and he walks with me, and he talks.
I want to read to you some scripture that I think is appropriate to read at this time when you lose a loved one, you think deep thoughts, and there are passages in the Bible that are there to comfort us for times just like this. And a lot of them are in 2 Corinthians. I want to read some of those to you. To provide comfort for family and friends. Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Another passage says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. I think our mom lived that out. She lived a life that was never really about herself. It was always about others. And I'll give you some examples of that a little bit later on. But what I'd like to do now is, Gary has prepared a song for us, to sing for us, that I think would be appropriate. And then after he sings, I have some personal remarks to make, but I know that there are a few people here that want to make personal remarks too, and I want to give you that opportunity. I would rather hear from you than hear from me, so I'm going to give you that opportunity, and then depending on how much time we take with that, then I will adjust my remarks accordingly. So Gary, if you'll come up and get us started on that song.
Actually, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to play the song. And it would seem like a very inappropriate song. It's called He Lives, which doesn't fit the moment, but I'm placing it in a minor key, and it's going to sound completely different. So if I didn't tell you the name, you may not recognize. Everybody knows what He Lives is. The day of His appearing will come at last. It's like we have the light inside of us, and we have a body that's like a veil. And the light wants to come out while we're living, but the light of Jesus remains forever. And so forever, I want you to think of forever today, having the light. He lives. And we're looking for His appearing for us. And there's victory in Jesus, and His life is forever. Now, I am placing the veil over the music of He Lives. And it's going to sound mournful, it's going to sound a little sorrowful, but yet it seems to come alive. I don't know what it is. Something about the Jewish people love minor, playing something in minor. It does something in your spirit. So anyway, it's He Lives.
He's gonna enjoy it. Thank you.
I want to give you like a, just a really two-minute quick teaching on something that sometimes is confusing to people, in case it is confusing to you. The Bible says two different things about death. It says, one thing it says is that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That sounds instantaneous. The other thing it says, which sometimes can be confusing, it says that there's going to be a resurrection someday, and people are going to rise from the grave and be with the Lord forever. That sounds a little more long-term. So how do you put those two things together? Well, I think it's actually pretty simple that when we die in Christ, we are immediately with the Lord in spirit. But we leave behind here on earth our bodies. Mom's ashes are here. But someday, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to resurrect the dead, their dead bodies, but their spirits are already with him. So what's going to happen is he's going to come back with the dead in Christ, and he's going to recreate in all of us, those who are alive at his coming, those who have already passed away. He's going to give us these brand new bodies. And somehow or another, he's going to be able to take these ashes and everybody up in the cemetery, and he's going to be able to rearrange their whatever's left of their bodies, and he's going to create this brand new body that's going to be far superior to anything even the best looking of you guys are. You're going to like it a whole lot better, and that's going to happen someday. The only thing I think that we're going to remember about our current bodies is enough of us to be recognized in our new bodies. Somehow or another, we're going to be able to look at these magnificent new bodies and say, oh, I know that's Zach, I know that's Charlie, I know that's Lee. We'll be able to do that. But he's going to give us these brand new bodies that never going to wear out, never going to have any pain. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that because sometimes it's confusing. Some people think, well, what happens? Do you go to sleep and stay asleep until the resurrection? No. We will be with the Lord Jesus. Mom's with the Lord Jesus right now. And she will be desiring a new body. She won't have the body yet. She will be in spirit form. But she is going to come back, and she's going to take the form of this new wonderful body that God's going to create. So just wanted to share that little thing just so, because I know sometimes it gets confusing. Now, what I'd like to do is to hear from you guys. I'd like to know, to hear from you something. It can just be a sentence. It can be a paragraph. It can be whatever you want as a memory of what Mom was to you. So I have the microphone. And, you know, we're a small group here. It's just, I've got to turn this on. I don't want you to feel intimidated. We're like family here. So who has something they would like to share about their grandmother, their sister, their mom, their friend, their teacher, whatever? Who wants to start us out?
Thank you.
I'll start us off. Thank you, Joanne. It's always good to have somebody just pop right up and start out.
Margie loved babies. And Jim and I adopted one a little over 37 years ago now. And he was born on December 14th, and we were able to pick him up from the hospital 6 days later. Because of his bilirubin count, we didn't get him quick enough, but when we brought him home, it was the weekend of our Christmas program here at church. And when I came through the door, Margie got a hold of him, and I didn't think I was going to get him back. I hadn't had much time to hold him and everything. We'd had to pass him around the family, and then she was holding him, and the service went on, and she was holding him. And I knew how much she loved babies. I had watched her, and all these, you know, great-grandchildren and all were coming, and she, you could just tell. And so she decided that she was going to take care of him and Bonnie at the same time. Well, that didn't work. She took one day of that and decided that that was not what she could do. Well, and I've had 37 years with the child, and I can see why she couldn't handle one day, but I love her for it.
Yeah. She had a special place in her heart for kids. Who else? Bobby, I'll come to you next, Clara. Hey, pal. Yeah. This one is attached to my hip sometimes. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, Margie was she's a special person. We all loved her. She's loved her at church. And I remember she used to keep the nursery back here. Coach was long-winded preaching. And when it come about 15 out of 12, she'd come out and go, everybody plays it.
She'd give him the hook, huh?
I started out being one of those children that she loved. And my mom leaned over to tell me, she said, you got to tell the story. I was actually in elementary school. And mom had always taught at the school that I went to. And life changed and she went to teach at a different school. And she forgot to come pick me up on a regular basis. But all I did was I called Margie and I said, my mom forgot me. Will you come get me? And it was tragic to me. Like, I was definitely in tears, and I did eventually get used to it. But all I had to do was call her. And she stopped whatever she was doing, and she came to get me. And my mom knew where to find me. I would go home with her, and when mom remembered that she had forgotten me, she knew to find me at Coach and Margie's.
Yeah.
But she took me under her wing. Now, I had an amazing mother, but she let me grow up in their household. And as I went into a young adulthood and had hard times and things, she stepped into places. One more story. She and Miss Kay and I took a girls' trip to Florida. And this was after Coach had passed and she was married to Sam. And Sam was in the condo in Florida. And we piled in the car. And they took me just like I was one of them. I mean, I was 21 at the time. And we had the most amazing trip and the most amazing memories. And I thank the Lord so much for letting me be a part of her family and her life. And she just bestowed so much kindness on me. I'm just truly thankful for the Lord for what she gave to me.
Thank you, Claire. She thought very highly of you. I think she was trying to fix you up with either me or Carl, too. She just thought you were very special.
And a few more doctors that came along.
Yeah. She's always looking for you, wasn't she? All right. Carl?
Some of y'all don't know me, but some people confuse me for Kurt's younger brother. But one thing I think we all have in common... One thing we have in common is I think we all have the best mom in the world. And I say that because you out there probably had the best mom in the world, and I know I did too. And there's nothing wrong with us all saying that we had the best mom in the world. And I just remember so much about mom, and you know what she cared about? Thinking back, if I could put it in just a few things, she cared about her family. She cared about her church and friends here. She cared about children, and she cared about pets. So, and as I look around here today, I'm seeing her family here, you know, which says a lot for mom. I'm seeing her friends here, which says so much for her. I'm seeing her church here that she loves so much. And I'm seeing her pet Some of you might have visited her and Sam and remember Barney the bird. Well, I took Barney. We've still got him. He's still going strong. 30 years old, almost in the book of world records. But every morning he wakes up singing, "Hey Mama. Good morning, Mama." So every day, Laura and I get a full dose of Mama being with us. Mm. And I see the children here today that she cared so much about. And one story I will tell real quick is a couple, she had gone out to on a cruise and with Sam, and they stopped in California somewhere and went into a little restaurant, no-name restaurant in the middle of the city. And the waiter came up and said, "Miss Beaumar, you were my student, my teacher." Out in the middle of nowhere. And the way she told this story was very touching to me. And just recently, my wife got a new job in Florida. The clinic lady came and said, "Is your mother Margie?" She said, "Yes." She says, "She was my fifth grade teacher." She said, "My mom died while I was in her class. And she would come and take me home for the weekends and to be with her. And she said it was just so special to me, and it helped me throughout life." So Mom has definitely been here today, and we just appreciate all you coming and being with us, and thank you for letting us be a part of your family here.
Thank you, little brother. Who else? Beanie, I'm going to put pressure on you. She had a little speech, and I was supposed to print it out, and I forgot to print it out. She said, "Well, I'm not standing up and talking about it." So. Here she goes. Atta girl.
I would also like to say thank you for everybody here. I know how much Mom loved you all. Even when she's down in Florida, she had fond memories, and we'll talk about it often. Our mom was an amazing woman. She wore so many hats, you cannot even believe it. She was a dedicated, intelligent, patient, wonderful teacher. She won several awards, Teacher of the Year, Avery County. She was a great cook. Oh my gosh, fried chicken and sticky rice and gravy after church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You had to be quick, though. It was all's fair after the prayer. And I remember that she used to go to the pantry and fix the best meal at the last minute out of nothing more than dry milk and unmarked cans. I don't know how she did it. She was wonderful. And to this day, I don't know how she did it. I'd ask her several times, "Mom, how do you do it? You're working two jobs." She always worked summer school. "And you got five kids. How do you do it?" And she says, "Well, I couldn't do it without you." I believe it was the other way around myself. Three things I never heard my mom say. "I don't want any more children." The second one was, "Let's just go out to dinner."
That's true.
And oh, yeah. The third one was, "Can I have?" She was the most unselfish person I've ever met in my life. It's bittersweet today for me because I feel like we're giving her back to the one that loaned her to us. And I'm happy for her. I'm sad for me, but I'm really happy for my mom. And I hope Lily and Bonnie and Jeremy and Daddy are all there to greet her with the biggest group hug ever. We love you, Mama. And keep the fried chicken going.
Yeah. Thank you, baby.
I met Mama when I started dating her son, Carl, when I was 18. and my mom died just a few years later. And I remember mama saying, "You have a mama. I'll always be your mama." And it was true until her last breath. She took care of me just like I was her daughter. And I'm so grateful to have known her and to have loved her as much as I did. She went out like an angel, like she came into this earth for everybody who knows her. And it was a blessing.
Thank you, Laura. I want to brag on Laura for just a second. The last month of mom's life, we took her out of assisted living, and she stayed with Carl and Laura at their house. And Laura stayed faithfully by her bedside every day, every night. She spent sleeping on the sofa beside mom. And that meant a lot to the rest of us. Because, you know, you just don't get personal care in assisted living. I don't care how good a place it is. They don't know you. You're not family to them. So we knew mom was getting close to the end, and we wanted her to know how much we loved her. I couldn't be there. Laura was there representing us. And I just thank you for that, Laura. Carl told me yesterday, I didn't know this, but the last 3 weeks or so, she didn't even talk. Mom couldn't even talk. Except for one instance, just before she passed, she got enough, woke up enough, whatever, to just to tell Laura, "Laura, I love you so much. Thank you." And that just meant a lot to me, because that told me that she was receiving the love that that they were trying to give her. So that was, thank you, Laura, so much. You mean so much to me. Anybody else? Miss Karen.
I met Mom. We flew up one time and got to meet her and was nervous about meeting her. And previously, I had been praying for a mother-in-law because I had heard so many horror stories of mother-in-law. So I didn't know who my husband was going to be. But I said, "Lord, please give me a good mother-in-law that loves me." And she was the best. She was so gracious and never made me feel like I wasn't good enough for Kurt, and never made me feel unworthy of the family. She was just so loving and so gracious. I could never cook like she has. But I could bake pretty good, but I could never hold a candle to Mama's cooking. But she was a great mother-in-law, and she loved this church, and she loved the mountains and the people up here. And missed it quite a bit, but she was wonderful.
Thank you. She definitely thought she was good enough for me, but I don't think she thought I was good enough for you. That was the big problem. Anybody else? Van.
Thank you. I hadn't planned on saying anything, but I can't not say something. Sherry and I absolutely love Marjorie. She is, as you said, when she came into our lives and we came into hers, she took care of us, and we were grown.
Yeah.
And then taking care of my father was something altogether different, so we won't talk about that. But she took care of all of us. And this is for the Beaumars. Guys, you got me to blame for my father and Marjorie getting together. Sherry and I were over at the CeeLo Inn many years ago watching my sister in a play. And I'm looking around over to the side of me, and I see this prettiest woman. And I knew who she was. And your father had died. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking there, and I just can't take my eyes off your mother. Honestly, she's just such a pretty lady. So Monday, for some reason, I go to the office to talk to my father. And he was trying to date a little bit at that time because he and my mother had split up. And so he was sitting in there having his coffee. And I said, "You know, I want to just say this to you. I don't know. I've seen some of the people you've been going out with. But if I were you, I would make a beeline to this lady I saw at the Beaumar lady that I saw at the play the other night. And that was it. Mm-hmm. About a month later, my dad said, oh, by the way, me and Miss Beaumar have been going out a little bit together, and I was absolutely shocked. And about 90 days later, he said, well, me and Miss Beaumar that you fixed me up with, we're going to get married. So I guess the moral of that story is I sure know a good-looking woman when I see her.
Thank you, man. She had many happy days with Sam, too. How long were they married? About 10 years or so? I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah. So that was great, too. Anybody else? I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't see your hand.
Growing up, you don't, being a kid in the grandparents' house or whenever family's around, you don't really listen to the conversations. You just kind of play. But one of the things I always remembered about Nana, Uncle Carl said it, she loved pets. And while the slideshow was going, Taylor said, she had a lot of animals. Like, she loved animals. And I said, I said, animals loved her too. Every animal. She had a magnetism.
She was the whisperer, wasn't she?
She was. And you could see it. I remember one specific story. We were down at her house, in her Florida house, and Dad and I think Ruthie was there, but they were just talking, and Nana would like, you want a glass of water? And she got, and there's three or four dogs around the house at that time. She said, you want a glass of water? And we said, sure. And she got up and started walking in the kitchen, and all three or four dogs just started following her, just walked in the kitchen, circled her, and then she came back to the couch, sat down, and all the dogs laid right at her feet, and there's a cat above her shoulder. And I really think it was a gift she had, and I know she's passed it down to Dad, and I know Ruthie's got it too. She has that magnetism about her, and I honestly believe Stephen and I have it for cats. I've never met a cat that I didn't like, and I really believe that was passed down from Nana.
I think you're right.
And so if Eliam, Valor, Salome, any of the ones that can understand, if you've got that magnetism for pets, I know you got it from Nana. So.
That's right. That's where it came from. Thank you, Dan.
When we were younger, we were down in Florida, and Nana was living up here with Sam for a lot of the time. And then when we moved up here, it was kind of after Sam and she kind of moved down to Florida with her then husband Bob, and so we kind of missed her as far as being able to spend vast amounts of time with her. But we did spend enough time with her to where I was. I did pull several things away from her, and I do think, just in my mind, she did leave a legacy of a few things, and one of them is, I believe, a legacy of grace and being gentle with every child that she was with. She was just very gentle. She would make an effort to talk to them or hug them, and it was just very warm and affectionate. And so she brought that with everyone who she was with, just a gentle demeanor and very comforting and gentleness. But she also had a legacy of work ethic. I can remember being at a very young age and being a teenager, and whenever we would go visit Nana at Daddy Sam's or in Florida, rare is the time where she would be on the couch. Usually she was gardening or she was trimming or picking up bushes, and it was limbs, whatever. But it was just interesting seeing this older, maybe 90-pound woman who was just constantly working. But she had the legacy of a good work ethic and being gentle with all of those who she came in touch with. And that's something that is of note because she had a great work ethic and was just very gentle with people. And so,
thank you, John. Anybody else? Well, you guys successfully took up all my time, so I don't have to talk. And I know you appreciate that, too. I do want to say two things, but this is greatly condensed from what I was going to say. Two little examples of the kindness that she had and kindness to young people and kindness to old people. We've talked a little bit about her teaching and how she took special interest in her students. This was reflected in her students' outcomes and their test scores and things like that. And I can remember reading a newspaper article down there in Florida, and I've mentioned this at church already, but it had her picture on it, a full front page of the section she was on. And it was talking about the remarkable coincidence that they had done, what do you call it, the testing where it's the same everywhere. Standardized testing, thank you, of all the kids in the state of Florida. And they ranked, based on the scores, they ranked for each grade, they ranked them 1 through 10. And of her grade, which I think was third grade at the time, of the top 10 students in the whole state of Florida, I think it was four of them were in her grade, out of everybody all over the whole state. And, of course, the newspaper was interested in how can this possibly be? That's way beyond statistical probabilities. And she would not accept any of the credit. She just said, well, I just happen to have a group of really smart kids. And, of course, that wasn't the case. She just brought it out of them. And she was consistently good. And her kindness to the students encourages the students to want to learn. And she was really good at teaching. She was one of the very few people that could teach my little sister how to read. She had a lot of problems. Ruthie never would want to read. Her teachers at school would say, why won't you read? And she said, I don't have to. My sister reads to me. Finally, she went to my mom and said, you got to teach her how to read. She won't learn at school. My mom did. Anyway, the second thing that mom was really good at was being kind to old people. People who really, we would say, served no purpose for her. We lived next door to a nursing home when I was growing up. And we had constantly had people, back then the security was very lax. And they would just go walking out of the doors and just go, and we lived right on the river, and they would just walk right down to the river and you didn't know if they were gonna fall in or what. But they would wander all over the place. And we had our little pet phrase for them. We called them escapees from the nursing home. And they would constantly come over into our yard and just be wandering around in their nightgowns or whatever. And mom, instead of calling the nursing home and say, hey, would you get these old folks out of my yard? She would take them and bring them in and fix them something to eat and talk to them as long as they wanted to talk. And then she would gently walk them back over to the nursing home and she would tell them that so-and-so's already eaten. And there was one fella who we nicknamed Happy. Do you remember Happy? He made a habit of coming over to our house because he enjoyed so much mom's generosity. And this is going to sound bad, but this is the way it was. Happy could not control himself, and he would often pee in his pants. And we would see him wandering around the yard with the stains on his pants, sometimes still damp, and she didn't care. She still took him in, and she sat him down in her house, and she fed him something to eat. And we called him Happy. I don't know what his name was. But he just loved the attention that mom gave him, and she would take him back over. That's the kind of person she was. He had nothing he could do for her, but she valued him because he was created in the image of God. And because of that, she said, he deserves to be treated with respect. So, Bomar children, that's the kind of grandmother you had. And friends, that's the kind of friend you had. Well, I want to close up now. You guys have been very patient. Thank you for the time that you've been here.
What we're going to do next is we have some refreshments downstairs, and we're going to, it's still kind of raining out there. The family is going to go up real quickly to the cemetery and bury her ashes, but we don't want you guys to have to be involved in that. You can go downstairs. We'll be right back down, and we'll all join you together for some refreshments downstairs. So we will close in a, what? Now? Okay. Karen said I should go ahead and say the blessing over the food now. That way you guys can start before we get back. But if Vicky made a cake, please leave me a piece of that. Don't eat that before I come back. So so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we at this time dismiss your servant back to you. We thank you for the 93 years that you gave her to us. We thank you for the impact that she had in all of our lives, how she touched us and how she made an example of how we should act, how we should treat our fellow man, how we should treat people who can't do anything for us, how we should treat little people who have lost their parents, just how we should treat our friends and how we should treat strangers. We thank you for the glowing example that Miss Marjorie was for all of us. We thank you we got to be in the honored position of being a part of her life. We pray that. Lord, we want to pause now and just thank you for the refreshments that the ladies of the church here have made for us downstairs, Lord. We thank you that they're a blessing to us to sacrifice their time and their efforts to cook for us, and we thank you for it. We just ask blessings on the food and the fellowship to follow. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. You're released to go downstairs. Family, we'll take a quick walk up there. Any what?
If you got enough umbrellas.
I know we, I don't know, is it?
Hello.